Last night, I had a telephone call about tournaments, postpone it or not postpone it. My reaction was that in today's generation, people growing up in today's world, I'm not sure that people would understand the drastic loss that Klal Yisrael suffered on Shabbos. And the deep sense of avelus, those of us who are deeply touched feel as the p'tira Shmuel Auerbach. I'm not sure how many people, at least before I speak, understand why Moshe Sternbuch was in his yeshiva in Beit Shemesh, and after Shabbos he was told them to take off the parochas of the Aron Kodesh, just like we take off the parochas on Tisha B'Av. Ki kashem misas tzadikim kisreifas beis elokeinu. I don't believe he did that for anyone else ever. We live in a world of great superficiality. The PR and the media run the world, and what they think is important is important. The Pasuk says, when after this past week, we read that Shmuel told Shaul, Kodesh Baruch has cut off the Malchus from you and is giving it to someone who's better than you. And you have to understand, Shaul was Megdolei HaGdol. The day before he was Nifter, when he called up the spirit of Shmuel HaNavi, told Mochor atu iti ato b'mchitzosi, in Shaul is considered the same mechitza in the Olam HaEmes as Shmuel HaNavi. But we read this past Shabbos, Malchus is given to someone who's in a higher madrega, another Navi on a higher madrega. And when Shmuel comes to the house of Yishai, Yishai has seven sons. So they're very impressive. And in the back, there's one very unimpressive person. And when Shmuel says it should be this one, it should be this one, Kadosh Baruch Hu answers, Odom Yirelei Naim, Hashem Yirelei Levov. Hashem sees straight to the essence of a person. If this is true about Shmuel, certainly in today's day where everything is total superficiality and externalities, we suffer the same problem. I grew up in the years after the Second World War. And in a sense, my generation, people who grew up with me, was a bridge generation. Because the godless Batera that existed before the war, whatever existed after the war, are two worlds entirely. I knew people of a different madrig entirely than you'll ever know. After the war, Kodesh Baruch Hu so structured Klal Yisrael. There were three people in the United States who were given the charge, please come in, of rebuilding Yiddishkeit in the United States. The three people here in Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to rebuild Yiddishkeit here in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the three people who shaped and formed Yiddishkeit after the war, Chazon Ish, Rizka Rov, and Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. all the battles and all the fights, they stood at the forefront. In the United States, it's my Rebbe Zichron Levercha, together with Byron Cutler, together with Moshe Feinstein, they structured Yiddishkeit in the United States after the war. What was unique about these people? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in rebuilding Klal Yisrael, chose them. Someone who knew them, I knew my Rebbe Zichron Levercha very, very well. I knew Moshe Feinstein very, very well. From them and from everyone else, I had a very good picture of Byron Cutler. People talk today about Hasmoda and Godel. These words just don't mean anything to me. Certain people, there's a Messiah of Gdolei Torah who fulfill Kihem Chayenu V'Yorech Yomenu. Their minds are never made Siach Das for a second from Torah. They can do this, they can do that. If they lie in bed, they walk down the street, they are so filled with Torah that they're thinking in Torah all the time. They are Metzias of Torah. There's no such thing as Bittul Torah, because Torah is as much a part of their lives as breathing, as your heart beating. You're not a masmid because you breathe very often all day. If you didn't breathe very often all day, you'd be dead. You're not a masmid because your heart beats all day, and counting all the, as many times as your heart beats. If your heart didn't beat all day, you'd be dead. For a person who's soaked through with Torah, the metzias of Torah, the whole way of living is Torah. Thinking about Divrei Torah, the ideas of Torah, the metzias of Torah, is about as natural to them as breathing and heartbeat is to everyone in this room. Anyone who knew previous generations, not all, Reb Chaim trained his children, my grandfather and the Briskerov, so that Torah was so much a part of them, they couldn't do anything except think in Torah. My grandfather was younger, and he'd be somewhere, Reb Chaim would stop and say, well, what are you thinking about in Torah now? It's like that. Because one's mind continually thought in Torah. My Rebbe Zichron Levracha, Moshe Feinstein, Byron Cutler, they weren't masmidim. They just learned all the time because that's what they did. Hours and hours every day. It was the Yagia Atsuma because that was their life. Anyone who ever walked down the street, my Rebbe knew all he did was talk in Torah. Moshe Feinstein, all he did was talk in Torah. Square Rebbe once said about Rabbi Aaron Cutler that in Europe he knew about people learn. Came to America, met Rabbi Aaron Cutler, something else, Ligain Lerner. What does that mean? Rabbi Aaron Cutler just didn't learn. Wherever Rabbi Aaron Cutler was, he was just ongoing on learning. That's what person who's shaped and formed by Torah is. Torah is an all-encompassing. You soak it in, and it is ki heim chayenu v'arach yameinu v'ahem nege yom v'loila. That is true amelus b'Torah. And it's not just you do it 9 to 5. You do it till late in the night. Late in the night. You don't do anything else. You sit and learn till late in the night. It's amelus b'Torah. And it's not, and amelus b'Torah goes hand in hand with something else, tremendous anova. There are two types of amelus b'Torah. The people who learn all the time, knowing all the facts of Torah. that generally produces tremendous bali gaiva. You know all the facts, so you know everything. There's nothing more to know. You can't ask the person a question he doesn't know. He knows it all. But there are other people whose minds are thinking in depth of Torah. And the more in depth you think of Torah, you realize how vast, Aruka Meir, it's Midor, Rechov, Yam, Omok, Omok, Miyam, Tzana, that everything we know is just the mashal of the Torah. So there are people who have answers to everything in Torah. If you have answers to everything, have you Yodea, be very careful. You have answers to nothing. That means you didn't understand the word of the Torah. Because the more you plumb the depths of the Torah, and your mind is preoccupied with deeper and deeper and deeper understanding of Torah, and you see how much more there is to know, countless times I would speak, my Rebbe Zichron Levracha, to Rabbi Shem Feinstein, they would give answers. Remember once I had a shaila. I was living in Los Angeles all the time. Very complicated mamzerah shaila. Called up my Rebbe. Spent an hour on the phone back and forth. I says, I don't know. Ask for Moshe. Later on I asked, came to Ramesha. Ramesha says, it's a hard shaila. It's going to take me 6 months to figure it out. I don't know now. Write it to me. It's a hard shaila. Neither of them knew everything. Because their minds were preoccupied with Torah in its greatest depth. Piskarov, Chazanish, Vissa Zalman, Eretz Yisrael, they formed and fashioned Torah here. Torah was their metzius of their being. That's why people looked at them, they represented Torah. But not only in Limudat Torah. Today there's a very interesting thing. You have to work on steiging, of course. Sometimes, yes, you do. But what does that mean? Very often it's a very ego-centered thing. But for a person who's a true Eved, it's just a tremendous she'ifa to connect yourself HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah in the deepest manner. It's not ego. And because that's what it is, it spills off into Avedis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Tovis, General Hanhogis. Rav Elchanan once said in Odom Gadol, isn't someone who's great in one thing. He says, Moshal Ma David Dome. I have a person, he's a regular person, but his arms are very, very long. He says, he's a Balmum. Person has to be proportionate. If all of a sudden you have a person of a regular size and his arms are double the size of everybody else, he's a Balmum. Godless Bateria means all-encompassing. Godless Bateria means that when you meet the person, you have midas of an unbelievable degree. Reb Chaim was the Godel Ador. But no, he wasn't just the Godel Ador. His midas was something also, he's the Godel Ador in midas. The Godel Hador in Midas means every part of the Torah you take, because you want to be, the Torah is so much part of you, you take it to the end. And if Limud HaTorah is taken to the end, Midas is taken to the end, Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Tefillah are taken to its end. It's all one shleimus. But Godless has something else. Godless is, they are able to transcend every petty consideration in life. Many people I knew who created Torah in the United States, most of their lives were tremendous near Dauphin. They came with a vision, they were near Dauphin. There's certain people who have a capacity to twist Yiddishkeit and justify hashchos and midas somehow within Torah. In Adam Gadol, A, is about midas. Then a true Adam Gadol, I don't know, is able to be pogeya in another person at all. Can fight, whether it's the three people here in Eretz Yisrael, the three people in the United States, they were lochem l'chamas Hashem to an unbelievable degree, they were nedofim, but they never consciously were pogeya in another human being. On the other hand, being nedofim, they are nedofim v'einim rodfim, they are lovim v'einim olvim, shomer cheposom v'einim meshivim. There was a certain psak from Moshe Feinstein that a certain group of rather violent chassidim didn't like. Their Rebbe wrote a tshuva, Moshe Feinstein wrote a tshuva. But how do you know who's L'Shem Shemayim? Who's the Roidif and who's the Nirdif? In the entire time, Moshe suffered tremendously. He never said anything. It was a Nirdif. Shomer Cheposo V'Einem Meshiv. My Rebbe Zecharon Levracha was a Nirdif. Shomer Cheposo. I can stories and stories and stories. When my Rebbe Zecharon Levracha first came to the United States, came the Rav of the city of Boston. Came to the city of Boston, he found Kashrus was in a hefker. It's corrupt, hefker, run by various rabbonim, various balabatim, all sorts of interests. And he tried to straighten it out. Then, some people realized there were tremendous financial interests involved, and they made a whole libel against him, reported him to the authorities. He was new in the United States, and thank God certain people helped him. And the judge finally, when he evaluated the case, realized he's a pious, honest man. Okay. Vayovayo, 20, 30 years later, the leader of the people who tried to put him in jail was caught by the government for all the fraudulent activities. And who did he turn to get out of jail? My Rebbe Zecharon Levracha. Anyone but an Adam Gadol would say, I keep quiet. You know what I'm going to say? As a Jew, B'chil Hashem, if a rabbi with a beard goes to jail, I have to get him out of jail. Shomech Heposo V'Enei Meshiv. Rashi Feinstein, Shomech Heposo V'Enei Meshiv. They took an, they were godless because there was nothing petty about them. They checked their midas against the Shulchan Aruch 10,000 times a day. Is this mutter? Is this aser? I remember a story. My Rebbe Zecharyahu Livracha. One summer, he stayed in a certain place for the summer. And between Mincha Maariv and Shabbos, he liked to sit and learn. It's quiet time. So some person came up to him, asked him something. Maybe he should say a Shem Pirkei Avos for the people there. He was busy learning. Then later on, 10 minutes later, he came up and said something relatively insulting. So one of the Talmidim was there, took him aside. Took this gentleman aside, defending so-called Kovod HaTorah, and spit in his face. I didn't see it. I was with my Rebbe, Zecharyahu Livracha. That was on the side. I walked home with him. I was living with him for the summer. And he's waiting for Rabbeinu, his lengthy Rabbeinu Tam, which was 2 hours that night, to finish. And the phone keeps ringing and ringing and ringing. And so the moment he made Abdullah, his wife answered the phone. She comes out. Went in. And the person who had been insulted was on the phone. He turned to me and says, "Do you know where this person lives?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Take me there right away." He had done nothing. But because someone was makban in his covered, he insulted this other person. Chas v'shalom, a person should be nifka biglolo. So we came. I came into a house. It's a hot summer evening before there were air conditioning. And there were two couples, this man and his wife. He was in his undershirt, and the other man was undershirt. They were sitting there playing bridge there, watching a television, drinking beer. And my Rebbe Zecharyahu Livracha stood there crying, "Please be merichel me, please be merichel me, please be merichel me." He didn't do anything. But Mishum, someone who was defending his kavod, was pogein, another human being, a simple Jew. He was crying for mechila. That's midas of an Adam Godel. To know how any Godel b'teira worried about every yosem and every almona and every nitzrach, that's all part of the Torah. These are Anoshim Gedolim. That's what I saw. And it's very rare. See, genuine tefillah, deep tefillah, whether it's the Shemayin Etzei of this one, of that one, you could see deep your omed lifnei hamokom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was part of their lives. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, I asked Moshe Feinstein, who I used to deal quite extensively in Inyan Halacha. At the time I was in Los Angeles, I was essentially one of the poskim for the entire West Coast. And I said, "Who should my address be in Eretz Yisrael?" One person said, "Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach." My Rebbe, I knew, had tremendous harocha for Rav Shlomo Zalman. They had known each other when my Rebbe was in Eretz Yisrael. My Rebbe had become very friendly with his father, Chaim Leib, who twice came to Boston. And I became very close to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Why? Because those same midas of a person who was totally Torah, totally midas Torahs, total Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in one total, complete package. And a lot of people didn't like Rav Shlomo Zalman. He was also a nirduf. Nelolvim v'enam olvim. Shomer chepasum v'einem meshivim. That's the pasuk. This is emes gadlus b'teira. So whatever I knew when I was in the United States, that dmus of kulo teira and that dmus of kulo chesed and kulo avoda as one total composite package representing the perfection what Torah is expecting of a human being, I found in him. I was exceedingly close with him. I don't think there was a week or two. The time I was in Eretz Yisrael, I first began seeing him, I was not in his house. It's not easy for someone who saw great people to go to another person and have the same hachnor to them, to the new person you had to the old people. Except if you feel that those same midas of totality of Torah, that there's no hesach hadas from Torah. No hesach hadas from Torah means a shlita in Torah completely from brachas to uksin in every aspect of Torah. Because your whole metzius is Torah. You don't stop learning Torah. It just is an ongoing thing. And the midas of Torah, of chesed, of worrying. Remember once, had a certain person was a social worker here in Eretz Yisrael. And it was a husband dealing with a case of a husband who was relatively abusive in a gentle way, exceedingly abusive to his wife. Used to beat her up viciously. And he had his vision that this is his Yiddishkeit, the Torah says so. And the social worker called me and says, do you know any famous rabbi who would explain to him that it's not the Torah? Because it has to be someone whose name is going to have immediate recognition. And so that he'll be afraid of. So I stopped and I thought, who's the one person who would go from one end of this country to the other to save Shalom Bayis and friends? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I discussed with Rav Shlomo Zalman. That's fine. He'll come here, I'll go there. Wherever it is. If in order to make Shalom be Nishli Ishta, it's the biggest mitzvah of the Torah. So I called back to social work. I said, you know, Rabbi Auerbach, ooh, he's very famous. I said, he'll go there. For a person who's not used to Gedolei Torah, they were blown away. What do you mean he'll go there? Hey, he's the famous. I mean, no. He hears there's a case of Shalom Bayis that he can fix. He'll go running. You tell me when and I'll be there. Of course, when the person heard that Shlomo Zalman was going to come knocking on his door, you understand, that solved the whole problem. To care about every yochid in Klal Yisrael. The Chafetz Chaim once said about Reb Chaim. His godless interior, his iluyas, his londas, is something. But how does he have place in his heart for every Jew in the world? It's an emes ha'odom gadol. There's place in his heart for every Jew in the world. I saw that. Saw that Rav Moshe Feinstein was my Rebbe, his Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And the Mamali Mekayme of Rav Shlomo Zalman in that was his son Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel was a masmid otzim, yogeya b'teira, unbelievable. Rav Shlomo Zalman used to say, everyone knows Shlomo Zalman is an Adam Gadol Meod. Shlomo Zalman used to say, in the world of Torah, he's Avuah de Shmuel. He's second to his son Shmuel. He didn't think he held a candle to his son Shmuel Auerbach in Torah. Shmuel Auerbach was a man who never stopped learning. Yom v'layla. His mind was preoccupied with learning. But, you know, just like breathing, I can hold my breath for a while, but then I have to stop because I have to go back to breathing. So people or their metzias is Torah. His metzias was Torah. You can stop, can pay attention to this for a while. Pay attention to that for a while, but after a while, you're automatically back in Torah. Because that's your metzias. Gehem chayenu, v'rechemenu, which is like you're breathing, like your heartbeat. His godless b'teira, two of the g'dayli teira here in the Dor Shehava, Rav Shach, Rav Yashiv, when they're spoiled from his godless b'teira. He knew the entire teira nigla v'nister. What was his say to Friday night? I know people here struggle. Shnai mikra v'yachatargo. Okay. So Friday night before the meal, he went through entire Medrash Rabbah on Parshas Tetzaveh. After the meal, he went through entire Zohar on Parshas Tetzaveh. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula. It's not one part of the Torah he didn't know, and he didn't think through B'Amkus Gedayla. But he had heart place in his heart for every single Jew. How many Yisraimim and Almanis did he worry about? Son of Naftali reminded me, certain thing happened here in Yeshiva. There was a certain one of the staff people had a certain issue. And he went to, who did he go to? Shmuel Auerbach. What did Shmuel Auerbach do immediately? He picked up the phone, called my son Rav Naftali and said, here, this is Shmuel Auerbach talking. What's the problem? He said, my son said, okay, Motzei Shabbos. He said, fine, Motzei Shabbos, come over, we'll see if we can solve it. A Jew came with a problem, what did he know? Got to solve the problem. There was place in his heart for every single to see genuine Avodah, you had to see Davin Shemar Esrei. At times I wanted to see him, so he always told me, come see me after Mincha. So what does that mean? I come to his yeshiva when officially Mincha time was. And he Davin Mincha. Chazan was finished Chazor HaSashatz. And it's still another 20 minutes, half an hour, till he finished Davining. You can see a man genuinely, Omid Lifnei Amokom, pouring out his heart in front of HaKadosh Baruch. And he took a tremendous amount of achrayas for Klal Yisrael. For a man who's in honor of beyond description. His anivus was his self-image. I'm a regular Jew doing what I'm supposed to do. Chazal tell us, in l'madata Torah harbe, al tach, tachzik tova li'atzmecha. If you learned a lot of Torah, don't think you're special about it. Kilekach notzarta. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you. You're just doing what you're supposed to do. He, Ogdol Yisrael, genuine. Your anivus is beyond description. And over the past number of years, he thought that the Mahalach, there was a Mahalach. Rav Shach and Rav Yashiv, who were the two Manhigei Ador, wanted him to take over as their Mamala Mokam. His godless Peteru, his Avas Heteru, his Yerushimayim, his clarity of thought. Rav Shach, Rav Yashiv would consult him. They valued his clarity of thought, his sincerity, his unbelievable ideas of Torah, and his whole attitude of Torah. For all various reasons, that's really not the place to discuss. But Tzibo split in a number of different directions. And he was a nirduf. You know, what is a godel? Godel is what I saw as a godel. Godel is what I saw as a godel. my Rebbe Zichrono Livracha, Moshe Feinstein, Baron Cutler, they were nidofen. Shomim chepasom ve'enem eshivim. Would never do anything to be pogay another person, even their biggest attackers. There was nothing petty about them. They were great human beings. Shmuel Auerbach had godless them. Nowadays, godless means some political body appoints you in the news, and Mishpacha writes you up, and you're in all the newspapers, and you have to be photogenic. And Shmuel Auerbach had a problem. He was not photogenic, so it doesn't sell copy. Okay. But is the nedofim veinim rothim, nelovim veinim olvim, shomim cheposom veinim meshivim. And he just took everything. My job in this world is to be mamshich the Masera. What was the Masera he wanted to be mamshich? Eretz Yisrael is a special place. It's the community in Eretz Yisrael was set up in the late 1700s. The early 1800s, the basic hashkafas olam of the absolute supremacy of limud haTorah. As a value among all values. It's not just an important thing. I grew up with a certain basic chinuch. Limud haTorah is not an important thing. It's not a very important thing. It's the only thing. An exclusivity of value of Limud haTorah. And that's how society here was set up. Society here was set up that the culture revolved around Torah. And over the past 130 years, there have been a lot of struggles to maintain that exclusivity of Limud haTorah. That is the culture of Eretz Yisrael. Those of us who left the shores of Europe, the United States, and came here was because we wanted to come to a place where the culture was the overwhelming value of Limud haTorah as a value above all other values. And that was the fight back before the First World War, between the wars, and especially in 1948, that was that battle that Chazon Ish, Biskarov, Rebbe Zalman fought. Unbudgeable. They're unbudgeable. This is the structure of society. And Mameshach HaDairis, here in Eretz Yisrael, since 48, was 70 years later. That has been the attitude of the G'dolei Torah here. And it was that attitude that it was that basic Hashgafas Olam. Rav Yashiv and Rav Shach, that Shmuel took in the most serious ways, in an uncompromising way. And it wasn't a very popular thing. You want to know who's an Adam Gadol? I know Rav Shmuel very well. You never heard a word about him, from him, about anyone else. Reminded me, in the 1890s, there's a famous conference of Rabbonim, and that was then the Russian capital, Petersburg, St. Petersburg. Petersburg was called. And all the G'dolei Rabbonim of Russia were there. And the topic on the discussion was whether or not to introduce the Russian government wanted to change the curriculum in the Chadorim. Introduce Russian language and certain Russian studies. And there was a disagreement between different Gdolei Torah. And after the whole discussion, there were two people who were firmly, adamantly opposed to any change. It was Reb Chaim and Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek at the time. Reb Chaim then sent a telegram to Chafetz Chaim to come immediately to help him. And Chafetz Chaim came. There were three. He knew that the seniority of the Chafetz Chaim and everyone's respect for the Chafetz Chaim might carry the day. When he came, Meir Simcha made a slighting comment to the Chafetz Chaim. Now, to be bogey in the cover of the Chafetz Chaim for Reb Chaim was a horrible thing, and furious at Meir Simcha for it. But at the end of the conference, everyone was packing up to leave. Chaim turned, which was my grandfather, was with him. He said, "We have to say goodbye to Meir Simcha." And everyone was shocked. But after all, there had been such a clash between them. Chaim said, "Meir Simcha's got a lot door. You have to mechabed the Torah that he represents." In all the bitter fights, it's never personal. There's no, and there's tremendous respect for Meir Simcha for Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim for Meir Simcha. They disagreed very intensely. Very intensely. But each one respected the other one's Torah. Each one respected the other one's sincerity. Each one respected the genuineness of their concern for Klal Yisrael. That's godless. Reb Shmuel Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha is in this Beis Medrash twice. Once he was asked to come to the hesped of Reb Moshe Twersky, who didn't know. So why did he come? He came because he knew that it would give me mechazik and almona. To be mechazik and almona, go to the end of the earth to be mechazik and almona. He knew this almona was broken, the family was broken, Yisraelim and almonas, they were broken, and his coming would be mechazik. Of course he came. But then, a year later, we had Achnos to say for Torah here. Lishmaser Twersky. And Rebbetzin Twersky asked me to go with her to speak to Reb Shmuel, that it would be a chizik for her and a covet for her husband if he could be part of Achnos Sefer Torah. So Reb Shmuel made a cheshbon. Would it be a chizik for her come to the yeshiva here for Achnosa, or maybe go to the house when you finish the Ksivas Oisius. I've decided it's more of a chizik for her. A man who was shakul and learning had an entire Klal Yisrael on his shoulders. The mechazik and almona. He was there for half an hour. Whenever Rebbetzin Twersky, in a year or two, she was a broken almona after the p'tiriv, after the murder of her husband, needed to be a chizuk, she knows she can always knock on the door. And Rechov Ibn Shaput. Because he was there for every yosem and every almona. Godless b'Torah, godless b'midas, a metzias of Torah. Klal Yisrael had suffered tremendous loss. That totality of Torah that I saw in my youth among a few people, that I saw in Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I saw in his son, Rav Shmuel Auerbach. It's a totality that you don't see. That hekif of Torah mitoch amkus, not just some sort of obsessive learning, 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 learning. but it's preoccupation to plumb the depths of Torah. A desire to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoch HaTorah. And there is, so when Moshe Sternbuch, when he heard last night of the Petiria of Shmuel, took the parochos off the Aron Kodesh, Kikosha Misa Tzadikim Kisrefes Beis Elokeinu. What does that mean? When Chazal say, Kikosha Misa Tzadikim Kisrefes Beis Elokeinu. What's the comparison? Comparison is as follows. People on a certain madrega lift everyone around them up to a different madrega. When you're in their Dalet Amos, you're lifted up. The Drushes Haran has a kash in Parshas Baloscha. It's one of the differences between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevuah of all other Nevi'im, including Aaron and Moshe, was that Moshe was always ready for Nevuah. He didn't have to prepare himself for it. Every other Navi had to go out, had to prepare himself. So then the Ran asked the Kasha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Aaron and Miriam, it says Piso, right away. So how is it that he could have a Mar Nevuah right away when every Navi other than Moshe Rabbeinu has to spend time uplifting himself to a point that he's ready to get Nevuah? The answer is Klal Gadol. When you're in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, that lifts you up to try to be on his madrega. We're in the presence of an Aron Gadol, and you value that Aron Gadol, and you see the godless, and you see the Torah in that. That lifts you up and brings you closer to the Torah. And there's a, just as Kibisrefas Beis Elokeinu, Shestalkus Hashchina, because we don't feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu as tangibly as when there's a Beis HaMikdosh. Misa Tzadikim Kisrefas Beis Elokeinu. Shechina departs to a degree. We don't feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu as tangibly as we were able to do when you had a person whose amelus b'teiru was to no end, whose concern for every single Jew, every downtrodden Jew, he had a tzara, you know, there was one address you could always go to, Shmuel Auerbach. And he's not a man who didn't suffer in life. He had a hard life. He didn't have any children, and he suffered from that. And his wife was nifter many years ago. He lived all by himself. He had a hard life. And the end of his life was radifa after radifa. But he had still had place in his heart for every single Jew. Anyone with a tzara knew they could knock on the door in Ibn Shaprut and pour out their heart into someone who'd lift them up. They knew if you saw him davening, you saw him pouring out his neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shivisi Hashem L'Negi Sameh. There's nothing petty. It's an achrayas for Klal Yisrael, achrayas for Klal Yisrael B'chlola, achrayas for the Torah, and the loss, such a dmus, I'm going to be frank with you, said, I grew up with certain, in my life I've seen people who I saw represent, they were metzias of Torah. They knew kol ha-Torah kula, from one end to the other end. They didn't stop learning Torah. They didn't stop thinking in Torah. They didn't stop being mechadish in Torah. They were Torah in midas. They were Torah in avoda. They were one complete package. I saw it in the door. I saw it in Meshach Hadoris. I saw it in Shmuel. for me personally, that image of the Hemshech HaDoiris that I saw with him has come to an end. I don't know anyone today I can say represents that to me. And therefore, on a personal level, on the hashpah it had on me, there's a devastation. Because that Hemshech that existed before the war, I saw people after the war, and if Shmuel was born, grew up after, in the middle of the war, after the war, but he continued that. It's a tragedy that it's come to an end. Remember, last time I had a hesped in this Beis Medrash, was a hesped from Reb Dov Schwartzman, from Shiva Beis HaTalmud. And afterwards, some Talmidim came up. Reb Schwartzman was an Odom Godol Ad Meod. He knew the entire Torah from beginning to end, thought through. His chesed was unbelievable. It was a shlemus to him. He suffered in life. He was a nirdaf. And afterwards, some of the Talmidim came up to me and said, well, if he was so great, why don't we hear about him? Friends, we don't hear about him. Yet they don't write about these people in Mishpacha. They don't write them up on the websites that are busy attacking them. No, they don't. But those of us who see in them the Metzias of Torah, and we see that this is something that maybe will be zeichet to see it again, but at this point of my life, I'm an old man. I've seen it. I don't look around. I don't see it anymore. And that madrega that he was able to raise the people around him too, we feel there's not going to be the pull-up to pull us up to that madrega. That's why, for those of you who can understand what I say, can appreciate what it is, emes a godless b'teira, person so metzias was a meilus b'teira, achrayis b'teira, midas teivis, avedis hakodesh baruch hu, achrayis for klal Yisrael's teira. That is, it's an unbelievable loss. And may it's Hashem, your Chaim HaKodesh says, Ki mibnei hara nasef tzadik. And he explains it in two ways. Your Chaim HaKodesh. Mibnei hara nasef tzadik. Before bad things happen, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes tzaddikim away so they shouldn't have to see the disaster. But there's something else, Or HaChaim HaKadosh says. Every tzaddik who leaves the world, we say in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, is a dmus. And that dmus has the machai of people to aspire, to be inspired, to aspire to that achievement that this person represented. Not that Reb Shmuel had it so easy. He grew up in the most difficult times in this country. He went to Eitz Chaim. He said, oh, Eitz Chaim, that's a place, yeah. In his class in Eitz Chaim, the two people who remained Shemit Torah Mitzvahs, Reb Shmuel Auerbach and my son-in-law's grandfather. Difficult times of poverty, persecution, unbelievable. But people who live these lives are inspired, and they should inspire us. Reb Chaim HaKodesh says that Ein Hanami, if we don't take the lesson from these people's lives, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I held these people up as an example of how to behave. I held these people up as an example of what can be achieved despite all hardships. I want you to learn for it, and I expect you to learn for it. So Reb Chaim HaKodesh says, Menei Ro, Nesef Tzadik. Mitz Hashem, memory of Reb Shmuel should be an inspiration for us and tell us it's possible for a human being to achieve the greatest heights in Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim, and through that inspiration that he gives us, maybe that will also be Aliyas HaNeshama for him, Shei Zichro Baruch.